bear with me. So mankind was made in God's image. So on the sixth day, when God made man, he said it was very good. Man was God's crowning achievement, the height of his creation. And so Adam, and I'm going to throw in there so you remember, so just so you know, for the ladies out there, Eve also, were made in the image of God. We were made to be like God in every way. God was their model. God was their teacher. God was their parent. And so in the ways that God walked, Adam and Eve walked. In the ways that God talked, Adam and Eve talked. The things that God loved, Adam and Eve loved. But one day there was a crafty serpent that came into the garden and it tricked Eve. Convinced Eve to eat the fruit of the tree. You guys know the tree I'm talking about, right? Don't need to talk about it, right? And then Eve convinced Adam. So here is where our passage will come in. We'll take a look at it later on. But Romans 5:12 says that through one man, sin and death entered into the world. When Adam took the fruit of the tree, which he was not supposed to eat, and rebelled against God, he was responsible for the corruption of creation. We see that through Adam's sin, the perfect creation was now tainted with sin, and death enters the world. And from then on, we see that Adam's transgression borns other transgressions. His first son kills his second son. We see the sins of strife, jealousy, anger, murder. And you know what? It gets worse as we read through our Bibles. And you might not fully understand, but you've heard it before, that we also bear that sin that Adam committed. Not that you did it, but that you bear the sinful flesh which causes us to rebel, which causes us to deny God. And you might ask, why or how is this so? You know, you are born apart from Adam. Why does his sin affect you? That's because as God made Adam in his likeness, when we were born, yes, we retain the likeness of God, but we also have the likeness of Adam, referring to the sinful flesh. And so Adam passed on the sinful nature to his son, and he passed on to his son, and his son, and so forth unto us today. So if I were to give you a picture of this, you can imagine it as we are all born with a terminal illness. Everyone here is born with a cancer. And as soon as you're alive, this thing is eating you up. It is tearing you down. It touches everything you touch. Your thoughts, your desires, and your relationships. It spreads and poisons everything we do. I know we have a video game crowd here, so I'm just going to throw in a little thing as a bone for you guys. You can imagine it as a poison. When your in-game character gets poisoned, what happens? Every step he takes, you see a red blink, you see a negative sign, your HP is going down, right? If you remain in this situation, your flesh will die. You will die. So what does that have to do with Christmas? And what does that have to do with Christ coming in the flesh? If I speak of sin as a cancer, as a poison, then you will have to look at Christ as the antidote, as the cure. A lot of times you think that Christ came only to redeem our souls, and that's not true. Christ came to redeem all of you, sinful flesh included. This is the awesomeness of our God on display here. That when the devil came into the garden and thought that he was going to corrupt God's creation, he thought, I'm going to ruin this for God. God will have to tear it all down. And on the same time, God was thinking, no, I will take it back. I will take every little thing back, soul and flesh. God will come to one day redeem our flesh fully. But in the meantime, he's sanctifying us, and that's not only a thing of the soul, but also our bodies. The devil plays chess, God plays, sorry, that's backwards. The devil plays checkers, God plays chess. He's going to overcome the devil in every way. He's going to make it look like child's play. So if we turn to our passage today, Romans 5, I'm going to take a reading, all right? If you're already there, please go to verse 12. And I'm going to read down to verse, we can go further than 19, but I think I'll just stop it at 19. All right, here we go. Therefore, as through one man's sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, that's talking about Adam, resulting in the condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from the transgressions, resulting in justification. That's talking about Christ and the cross. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one's transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one the many will be made righteous. We see in this passage that Paul is making a contrast between what Adam did and what Christ has done. The sin and transgressions of Adam brought sin, death, and condemnation upon every human afterward. So Adam was our ancestor, our representative, and he lost it all. When he had the chance, he lost it all. He lost eternal life. He lost relationship with God. He lost the life that he would have lived had he maintained his life, relationship with God. But Christ, when he came, he said that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. So everything that was Adam's fault, the corruption of flesh, the corruption of creation, sin entering the world, death being the bane of all men, Christ came to fix all of that. That's the purpose of this passage right here, is that Christ will not only, and if I were to direct ourselves to it's the verse 16, just look at it. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Christ's gift is far beyond and superior to Adam's sin. Beyond, so you can look at it as however bad, and actually if we were to read further in this, it says, you know, as sin abounded, grace abounded even more. What Christ did on the cross supersedes, goes beyond, infinitely greater than Adam's sin. So, if I were to restate something I said earlier, is that not only is he going to redeem sinful flesh, he's going to make something altogether better, altogether greater. So when we look at this passage, try to remember that the gift of grace through God's birth, through Christ's birth, through his crucifixion, will be greater than Adam's sin. So Christ will reverse everything. Now here is the part that is the mystery for me. How does this happen? How does Christ restore sinful flesh which is dying and dead? That is you. That is me. The sinful flesh that we have is dying. It's already dead. How does God redeem it? If you have read the book of Romans, you'll see that in chapter 6, Paul's going to talk about baptism. See, through Christ's death, his birth and his death in the flesh, we will have our sinful flesh redeemed. And we share it in his life and death through baptism. Not that pouring water on someone or dousing them has any importance, but it's a symbolic act of what is happening in the spiritual side, the spiritual realm. So when you receive Christ, you are dying with him, being raised with him. That is the mystery of the baptism. It is a symbolic act that is going to redeem all of you, starting with your spirit, moving on eventually to your body. A person who dies is no longer under the law. So that's why when Christ dies and we die with him, that frees us. And then when he is raised again, we will also be raised to live with him. So your sinful flesh will be fully redeemed because it will die. It will die, and God will raise up a new, superior flesh for you. So, even now, you should consider that your flesh is being redeemed. Over and over in the Bible it says that we are sanctified and being sanctified. These things are, you know, Pastor Sam's often talked about the tension between the now and the what is to come. You are holy, but you are being made holy. You are, when we're forgiven, but yet there will be a consummation of the forgiveness of our sins when Christ returns. For the Christian, we have died with Christ, and now we consider ourselves dead to sin. That's why you can consider that your flesh is being redeemed. Your flesh will one day be dead, and you will be given something completely new, completely different. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, that the body that you have was sown in weakness. It was sown as something that was perishable, something that was earthly. But God will raise it up to be something that is imperishable, something that is sown out of strength and is heavenly. So now, if we were to consider that we are going to be fully redeemed in our flesh, how is it that we should live our lives? The Bible says over and over, do not worry about what you wear, what you eat, what you look like, all these things. But for the person who is thinking that they only have one life to live, they can't live that way. That's where that stupid YOLO phrase comes from. They think they're only going to live once, and so they do their best to enjoy and live as pleasurable as they can. But for the Christian who sees far into the distance when Christ returns, we understand that this flesh that we have right now is not it, and that one day we will be redeemed fully. And so we live a different way. The Christian lives a different way. Don't worry about how you look. It's funny. A lot of times, people who haven't seen me in a long time, they might come up to me and they say, "Ah, John, you got a lot of white hair." And it's like, looks is so important in our culture. And I would be lying if I said once in a while it didn't bother me. It really doesn't bother me that often, but once in a while it does. But I don't live for this life, and I understand that my flesh is decaying and it is dying. But one day God will give me something different, something wholly better. And for the Christian who has the new flesh that is coming, that is on the way, how are you living your life in terms of what God is calling you to do? Right? This body is decaying, is dying, it's going to go away, and it will no longer be there. But with the time that you have right now, what are you doing with it? Are you trying to make a certain career, trying to establish a certain social circle? Are you trying to build up your own kingdom? Or are you trying to build up God's kingdom? You can ask by looking at your daily activities. Who are you servicing? And why? For if you consider that you only have this life, then you'll end up serving yourself. But if you look to see that God is going to redeem everything in you, then you will begin to live as if this body doesn't matter. That's why when you look at Pastor Choi, and I don't know if you guys remember last year when we were doing the Daniel fast that he was doing, and he fasted, was it 21 days or something like that, without eating. You could literally see his body breaking down. And you know what? To be frank and honest, he was putting his life in danger. But Pastor Choi is not living for this life. He understands that even if his body were to break down and he were to die, that there is a new body coming, that this flesh is being redeemed, along with his soul. And so, for him, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It didn't matter. Is it that way for you? I like to believe that it's that way for me. But everyone here has to ask themselves that question. And if I were to just close our sermon today, I just want to say this. Yes, through baptism, we are being redeemed. The body is, you know, not as evident because it's going to be in the future. But what is being redeemed right now is your spirit and your soul. To be born again means to die, and then it's that picture of going into the water and coming out. Are you born again? Have you died and have come and risen with Christ? Because if you were, then you would live a certain way. I had a really great conversation with a friend recently. And I asked him, what makes a person a Christian? What makes a person, what's the evidence of someone who is born again? Someone who has died to themselves, is now living with Christ. You know what? His answer, I couldn't have put it any better. He said, "I don't do what God tells me to do because I have to. I do the things that please God because I want to." And at that point, I was like, yes. Yes, you are absolutely right. That is the evidence of someone who is born again. That is the evidence of someone who is looking forward to a redeemed soul and a redeemed flesh. Can we take a moment to pray? Heavenly Father,